Welcome back to the Shane and I Show. My name is Shane.
My name's Max, and Istanbul was Constantinople.
What?
Istanbul was Constantinople. Now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. I'm pretty sure I've done this before.
Are we at a point where you repeat yourself now?
I mean, it happened. What happened was I was looking at an ottoman, which made me think of the song. Because the Ottomans turned Istanbul, Constantinople into Istanbul, which is why it's Istanbul, which was Constantinople.
All right.
Now, ask me, why did Constantinople get the works?
Hold on.
Just ask me.
Why did Constantinople get the works?
Yeah, it's nobody's business but the Turks.
Hey, this is a podcast about nothing.
That makes you think of something.
MindGrinderCoffee.com. That's our sponsor.
Fucking get you some.
Go and buy some coffee.
Do it.
Just getting a restock in. By the time this episode comes out, I should be restocked.
Yes.
So.
I for one, am eagerly awaiting the restock.
Get some coffee. And we got some stuff going on. So yeah. I'll talk about that at another time. I just feel like we spend a lot of time talking about coffee. So.
Well, our one sponsor, which is also your coffee company.
Yes.
That, you know, I think it's good for a show to actually pay due deference to their sponsor.
Yes.
Maybe not deference, but attention.
Yes. I mean, yeah, but we talk about it a lot.
Yeah. Also, like, it's a thing that you do. And it, you know, it's us just sort of hashing about things we do.
Yes. So, I mean, that's fine too.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Also, coffee, something that I drink almost every day of my life.
Everybody drinks coffee every day. You know what I don't understand?
What?
I don't understand people that don't drink coffee.
I married a woman who doesn't drink coffee.
Yeah.
She thinks it tastes yucky.
See, I don't get it.
I don't either. It tastes really nice. I mean, I've had crappy coffee, but I think coffee is a wonderful tasting
thing. I think it's a wonderful thing. I just don't understand how people, I've talked about it before, but it still baffles me because it's every time I see it, right? Mm-hmm. Every time I see somebody just wake up all happy, go lucky, and you want to just fucking hit them. I mean, is it just me?
Are we talking about morning people?
Yeah.
They don't even need their cup of coffee.
Yeah, they don't be like, need shit. They just wake up all fucking cheery.
Yeah.
And weird.
Yeah. And then maybe you'll like come into the office in the morning, you'll be pouring yourself a cup of Joe, and you'll say, hey, can I pour you one? Being courteous, right?
Yes. Because that's how you always are at the office.
And then they, in that oh so shitty way, go, oh no, I don't do caffeine.
I'm a natural.
Yeah.
I'm on a natural high.
Yeah. You could take your natural high and shove it up your natural ass, you natural cunt.
It freaks me out. Like, I seriously think those people are like people that are like secretly, when they're alone at night, they're plotting somebody's death.
It's entirely possible.
Like, they put on a front, because no, you can't be that fucking cheery in the morning with nothing.
Oh, I mean, they might just be using some kind of good drugs, and they just don't tell us what they are.
Here's the thing, though, is I've met people that are like that, though. Like, I've dated women that were like that. They would just wake up all fucking cheery like that.
In the morning?
Or is it just a guy thing?
I've known men who are cheery. In fact, some mornings I wake up and I'm just in a good mood.
Yeah. But you still drink coffee though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about. People that wake up and they don't have any caffeine all day and they're just naturally fucking happy.
Yeah. That's fucking good for them. I honestly wish, and maybe it's some kind of mental defect, but still, I wish I was one of those people. Imagine.
It would be nice.
Imagine just waking up in the morning and feeling good and energetic.
Like, you don't need coffee. You don't need, like, anything. Like, you just have energy to, like, go run. That's the other thing I don't understand.
People who go running?
In the morning. I get running.
You know what? Here's the thing. Those two people, there's like a lot of overlap there.
Yeah.
Maybe. And I'm not curious enough about this to actually try it. But maybe their morning exercise does something for their...
I mean, I work out in the morning, but it's more like 9 a.m. You know what I mean? It's not like...
Right. You're not...
I'm not like a 5 a.m. workout guy.
Yeah.
And I'm usually up by like 6, but it's not like I'm up naturally. But you know what I mean? Like I have to have a cup of coffee in the morning.
Yeah. No, I get up at 5:30 on a workday.
Yeah.
And drink a pot of coffee.
See, I don't go that far.
Yeah. I get up at 5:30 in the morning. specifically so that I have time to brew and drink a pot of coffee. Now, the last bit of the pot, right? The last big...
We weren't going to talk about coffee, but here we are.
Here it is. The last, like, big serving of that pot, I actually taken it to go mug. So I don't drink the whole pot
before going into work.
I drink three quarters of the pot, and then I nurse that last third to
because you don't know what the coffee's like at work.
They don't make coffee where I work.
That's weird.
They have a coffee maker
that nobody uses. So you're a mailman.
I am.
So are you telling me that there's mailmen and women running around delivering mail on no fucking caffeine? That can't be.
I'm sure some of them are, because some of these people are weirdly happy and energetic at 7:30 in the morning when they clock in.
Yeah.
But most of them just sort of bring a cup of coffee to work.
See, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But yeah, man, I don't understand, like, people that wake up, they're naturally happy, right? Maybe not natural, but they're just in a good mood, right?
Mm-hmm.
I understand waking up happy. But I don't understand waking up in a good mood and being like, let's go start the day with a 5-mile run.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't get that either.
I don't get it.
If I want that, I used to get something similar to that.
Right.
And that would be, I would wake up and snort a bump of Ritalin. and then maybe have like
then watch Star Trek
and then have a bit of liquor maybe and then go about my day just feeling fucking great for the first hour or two
until I have to re-up or you pass out
and it's never as good as that first
those things were always fucking that was always hard to like maintain right like if you I that's another thing like I never understood was maintaining because I was always like fucking, I was always fucked up, right?
Yeah.
There was no like, I'm going to do a little bit in the morning.
Yeah.
And then I'll do a little bit later on in the afternoon. Like it was like, I start in the morning, I'm going to show up to work fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then I'm going to try to get away with nobody knowing that I'm fucked up. And I pulled it off when I worked at Whole Foods in San Rafael.
Yeah. I'm not shocked.
I pulled it off for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to pull it off there was one time I was working there when I was on shrooms.
Yeah. Wait. Am I remembering correctly that you worked at the deli counter?
Yeah.
So you had to use that meat slicer?
Yeah.
On shrooms?
Yeah. And I never cut myself once.
Well, good for you, man.
I think around that time I got employee of the month.
Good for you, man, because I couldn't figure out how to use it a TV remote on shrooms.
It was when I got sober, and I was like 90 days sober.
Yeah.
Then I got fired.
I believe it. I believe it.
For threatening my supervisor with a butcher knife, which didn't happen.
Are you sure?
No. What happened was he was like yelling at me about how he liked me better when I was fucked up.
Uh-huh.
And I turned around with the butcher knife in my hand.
Yeah.
Just, you know, and I was like, hey, don't say that to me. I'm trying to do something different.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, you shouldn't have done that. And I was like, what are you talking about? I went back to work.
Right.
But because he complained, it was my third complaint in a series of complaints. See, after I hit employee of the month, I just kind of went downhill.
I believe. I mean, who does it?
Right.
Once you've hit the peaks, you know,
there is no management for me. Yeah. There is no nothing.
When I was working at Best Buy, I worked there for like a couple of months.
Right.
They gave me a fucking award, which came with, you know, prize of prizes, a free DVD of my choosing.
Wow,
thanks, what'd you get? How generous. I don't know. No Country for Old Men, The Dark Knight. It was about that time, you know. Anyway, but after that, I very rapidly stopped giving a shit. And stop doing the very thing that they awarded me for.
You're just like, whatever.
Well, they gave me an award and they're making a big deal out of it and everything. And I'm just thinking, like, I couldn't care less about this. This feels cheap and shitty right now.
Yeah. Right. Because I've been thinking about this for a while because maybe when this episode comes out, it'll come out on the day of. I think it'll be out on Friday. But Friday, the 12th, is kind of a big deal for me.
It is.
And it's 24 years. And I was kind of thinking of how I was going to do this because I know we tried this last year and it came out fucking horrible and we didn't release it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about this because I was thinking about not just getting sober, mm-hmm. but it was, and I was talking to somebody about it the other day. It was actually staying sober mm-hmm. through fucking bad decisions. Right.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember when we tried to record a podcast about that.
Yeah.
That got dark, man.
Yeah. And I'm trying to, I don't want to do that this time yeah. because I'm truly happy with where I'm at.
Yeah. Good.
Right. But I do want to talk about kind of like that. Cause like for me, I was thinking back to it. Like I was thinking like I made a way more bad decision. So like I said earlier, man, my whole thing was I was getting up. I was starting. I was fucked up.
Yeah.
So there was no like wiggle room for like making like life decisions. Like mm-hmm. the life decision was how was I going to get more?
Yeah.
Right. That was the life decision.
Yeah.
Right. When I finally got sober and it was like my third try or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was actually stayed sober for a while. My mistakes didn't start happening. The bad decisions I was making until I was like probably like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years sober.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's kind of what I wanted to talk about because it's just like, I'm totally grateful for it now, right? Because I'm in a way better place. This is also brings back to the topic of, we talked about it before, of why I always looked angry, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Which, by the way, I think is why your person interpreted your comment as you threatening them with a knife.
Yeah.
Because imagine you turning around, like somebody turning around with a butcher knife with the angriest look on their face.
Yeah.
And just, yeah.
I was thinking about it because I was talking to somebody about it. She's not in a 12-step program or anything like that. And she was like, well, why didn't you just go to therapy during that time? And I was like, I tried, but yeah. I could just bullshit a therapist.
Yeah. Also, la-di-da, good for you. You can afford a therapist.
Right.
Know? Yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of guy, even sober, right? Mm-hmm. I remember going to a therapist and fucking lying my ass off.
That's crazy.
Telling him like, oh, I don't even know, you know, things are okay. And I make up some other reason why I was there. Not like the fact that I felt uncomfortable everywhere I went.
Right.
Right. Not the fact that when I walked into a room, I had this huge anxiety, because that was the stuff that was going on. That's like the stuff that was like why I was looking angry all the time, right?
Yeah. And that stuff a therapist can help you with. Yeah.
But I felt like I always had to keep this like front, right? I don't know what the front was. I don't know anything about it. But like I just think back on a lot of those times, right? And a lot of the decisions I made back then that I thought were like just like the end of the world. You know what I mean? It was like, oh my God, lost another job, or whoever woman that was left me again, or mm-hmm. like it was not easy, right?
Yeah.
I'm glad I made it through all that.
Yeah, me too.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm glad I made it through all that for two reasons. And one reason is like now I look back on that stuff and like my life is complete. Like I said, it's much more mellow now. Like I don't have like trauma like that in my life. And I'm not making bad decisions. I know when it's a bad decision now, right? I'm like, oh, I probably shouldn't do that. After I know this because I did it so many times before. And it's that saying, what's that saying? Nothing changes if nothing changes.
I don't know. I've never heard that saying, but it is true. Nothing changes if nothing changes.
Yeah. And I remember like where it really started to like, change for me was like, I remember, and sometimes there's that saying, it's like sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. Mm-hmm. I was one of the sometimes slowly ones that I didn't think I was one of the one times, sometimes slowly ones, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Because for me, like I started leveling out probably like 12, 13, 14, 15, like the later years of my sobriety were where I started mellowing out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where I started really changing. And I think having those hardships in the beginning is what kind of, I'm like truly grateful for that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I could look back on that stuff now. And the second reason is that now I have that stuff to help somebody, right?
Yeah.
To help another dude that's struggling. Right. And maybe that's, I don't know why I'm talking about this like this, but.
I know exactly why. Because you are coming up on your sobriety anniversary.
Yeah. And I've been thinking.
And this is shit. Pretty much every recovering addict alcoholic, whatever, when they're coming up on their anniversary, this shit just sort of starts going through their mind, whether they want it to or
not. Yeah, and this has just been coming up in the last week.
Yeah, see?
Especially like that first 10 years. Like, I remember on my 10 years of sobriety, my 10-year birthday anniversary of being sober, mm-hmm. I got fucking arrested.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I called a friend of mine to get bailed out, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I think it was on the day or the day before. I can't remember. And I remember I called a friend of mine, and it was a Friday, and I was asking him if he could bail me out. Mm-hmm. And he was like, why don't you just stay there the weekend?
Yeah.
The charges will be dropped. Everything will be fine. And I was like, my ego was just like, dude, I'm 10 years sober. I shouldn't be here. But the truth was, I was a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Who for years would not pay his goddamn license fines.
Yeah. Though in all fairness, the whole fucking system there was real fucked up at the moment that time.
Yeah. But if I had just paid it initially and not operated the way I operated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't have been in that mess in the beginning, and I had just gone to court and not lived in that fear of like, I don't want to, I'm like, that was the whole reason I didn't go to court, was because I was afraid. Right. Yeah. I was afraid of going to court.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the simple truth.
Yeah.
Right. But I remember him telling, he's like, dude, just stay in jail. And I remember I did that. And I remember that gave me time. I was like, how did, like, at the time I was like, just like beating myself up over it. And I was talking, when I got out, I was talking to somebody else. And she was like, well, I'm glad you're still here. Mm-hmm. And at least you showed people that you could stay sober through anything.
Yeah.
And that was a big learning. That's something that I learned, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
It's like those bad moments. Like, and then I was talking to a guy a few years later about the same thing. And he was going through the same thing that I went through. And it was pretty much the exact same conversation the guy I had on the phone with, I was having with this guy. I was like, I mean, my experience was, is I stayed in jail for a week, for a weekend, and they let me go, and they dropped the case.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, so you think I should stay in jail? And I'm like, if you can't make bail, that's what I would do.
Yeah, no shit.
You know? So, I don't know. I think that was a real turning point for me. Mm-hmm. And but just thinking, that's where I started really understanding. Now, I don't know if understanding is the right word, but that's where I really started wanting to change, right? I didn't want to have that shit in my life. I didn't want to be getting arrested sober.
Right.
Because I didn't like how it felt.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't like being in fear all the time because it was uncomfortable. Right.
Yes.
So I started working on those things. And I think that's why the second half of my sobriety has been completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a trip. Like, when I see people that I haven't seen in a long time, and they'll comment on it, like, they're like, you seem really calm and really mellow now. And like, it's like, I don't know, man. I'm kind of just, I think I'm just really happy about the fact that I was able to stay sober.
Yes. Yes.
Through shit.
Yeah.
And if you're struggling and you're listening and you're like, you're struggling or whatever, you could always stay sober. There's always help.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Feel free to reach out to us and
send an anonymous email if you like.
Yeah. Or, you know, there's plenty of resources online, but there is help and there is hope.
Yeah. And that was about it. I don't want to get too dark.
All right, cool.
No, we
avoided getting really dark with that one, which is great.
I want to make a point that it's like, I'm really grateful for where I am today.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to go through that, all that shit to get here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I understand that now, when at the time I didn't.
Okay.
That's kind of it.
All right. Yeah.
That's kind of all I wanted to say in a roundabout way.
That
took fucking 10 minutes.
Yeah, whatever. Here we are.
But yeah, man, what else we got?
Grundle socks, good or bad?
What are grundle socks?
I don't know. I wanted to say something outrageous. So I just put two words together. But I think
I don't like how they sound. I'm going to say they're bad.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting topic.
Grundle sock?
Yeah, take two words, and these are the words, grundle socks. Put them together
in
one thing, grundle socks.
And just fucking say if they're good or bad?
I mean, honestly, define what is a grundle sock.
Could it be, because here, what I think of a grundle sock, because I think a grundle sock, those little socks that fucking only come up to fucking part of your ankle, the bottom part of your ankle.
Okay, you could call that a grundle sock. They and come they up fucking, to the grundle of your ankle.
Yeah, and yeah. they fucking fall down all the time.
Yeah.
Like, they don't stay up.
Well, they're not supposed to stay up.
And they're fucking annoying.
Yeah.
And I don't know why people wear them.
They wear them so that they have unseeable socks.
Yeah, it's why don't you just not wear socks then?
Who doesn't wear socks? Say you're
Don Johnson didn't wear socks.
He was Don Johnson. Okay. And by the way, I bet you nowadays Don Johnson does wear socks.
Don Johnson did wear socks and he pulled off a peach suit.
He did. And that white suit with the pink shirt underneath.
Yeah.
With the sockless loafers. The fucking fucking sunglasses. Don Johnson was the coolest motherfucker in the world.
In the 80s. Yes,
yeah.
He was.
He really was.
Yes. I recently saw a movie with him in it, and he's still a cool motherfucker.
He was on a sitcom recently.
Yeah. What movie did I see him in? Brawl in Subblock 99 or something like that. It had Vince Vaughn in it, too. And Vince Vaughn, it was a drama. And Vince Vaughn was actually really good, too.
Yeah, Vince Vaughn can do drama.
Yeah, but it was Don Johnson, and he comes out as the warden, and you're like, he's still a fucking cool guy.
Yeah, he's still Don Johnson.
Yeah, he's still fucking Don Johnson. It's like Kurt Russell, you know what I mean? Like, if you see a movie with Kurt Russell in it, it doesn't have to be fucking good. It's Kurt Russell.
It's Kurt Russell, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're going to watch it because he was in Escape from New York.
Yes. Yes, he was.
Right?
Yeah.
And he was in Tombstone.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
You know?
Yeah.
And you're like, that's fucking Kurt Russell.
I forgot Kurt Russell was in Tombstone.
Yeah.
I think Tombstone, I always think of fucking Val Kilmer.
Right. Everybody does just because he was so good in that.
So good in that.
Right.
But yeah, he was Wyatt Earp. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're like, dude, that's fucking Kurt Russell. Like, how could you? He was in The Thing. You know what I mean? Like,
you could,
even if it's a bad Kurt Russell movie, you're just like, I'm going to fucking watch it anyway because it's Kurt Russell.
Yeah. Escape from L.A.
Yeah. I didn't like Escape from L.A.
Yeah. See, bad Kurt Russell movie.
Yeah, but I watched it.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Of course. Well, it's the sequel to Escape from New York.
It's not as good as Escape from New York.
I only saw like the movie preview for Escape from L.A.
Yeah.
And the only thing I remember about the preview is he was like doing a zip line through explosions, shooting a machine gun.
Yeah. Oh, and he was in Big Trouble in Little China.
Yes, he was, which
is the classic.
I loved that movie as a kid, but nowadays that shit does not fly.
Yeah, it doesn't. Either does it. That Eddie Murphy movie, what was it? The Golden Child.
I know the movie you speak. I know the movie of which you speak. I do. The Golden Child, yes.
Yes. It wouldn't fly today either.
No.
But yeah, there's certain, I just tried to watch that new Beverly Hills Cop movie.
Yeah, how was it?
I got 15 minutes into it and I was like, this is just like every other Beverly Hills Cop movie.
Well, it's worth a watch if it's just like every other one, except it's just like every other one, except the protagonist is 70.
Yeah.
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 So in that way, it's not just like every other one.
I mean, it was like classic Eddie Murphy, though. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
good.
I'll probably finish watching it. I just started it before I came over here.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like I turned it off because it was bad or anything, but
I like classic Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Like the only Beverly Hills Cop I remember, because again, these came out when I was a little kid. So the only thing I remember from it was Beverly Hills Cop 3 and Balky from Perfect Strangers played a guy who was selling machine guns to women.
Yeah.
Like purse machine guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, stop it. There's that scene in the art gallery with him. That's fucking hilarious.
Fucking love Balky, man.
What was that movie? That sitcom, Perfect Strangers.
Perfect Strangers, yeah.
Yeah, that was a big hit for a while.
Yeah, that was a good... I fucking watched it every Friday, man.
Yeah, that was back when sitcoms were fucking funny.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
there's still funny sitcoms out there.
Yeah. But I mean, like, the stuff they pulled on a regular Friday night, like, you can do that today.
No.
Like, Perfect Stranger, you cannot get away with doing Perfect Stranger just based on what... Just based on what the show was about.
Well, I mean, maybe you can, but only because Balky was from some mysterious white people country, and it's okay to make fun of white people at the moment.
Right. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Balky was kind of like, his deal was the same as like Fez from that 70s show.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another good character.
That was a good character. And now that guy is like some badass federal agent on NCIS.
NCIS Guam?
No, fucking straight up NCIS, the main event.
Yeah, he's like the head guy now.
No, he's not the head guy, but he's like the cool guy on the team.
Didn't that one guy leave the show after years and years and years?
Yeah, and he got replaced by Fez.
That Mark Harmon guy?
Oh, him, yeah. And he got replaced by the vice president from the West Wing. I don't know, man.
Rob Lowe?
No. He's some guy who's been in a lot. This dude, if you saw his face, you'd be like, yeah, I've seen him in at least half a dozen things, but I have no idea what his
Larry name Fishburne?
Is. Larry Fishburne? No.
Lawrence Fishburne, sorry.
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Sorry. He was in another classic movie that I just watched again.
Yeah.
Event Horizon.
Yeah, and he was also in classic TV shows like Pee-wee's Funhouse.
Yes, he was.
I cannot believe, like, Neo was the fucking weird cowboy from Pee-wee's Clubhouse.
Yeah, it's always a stretch. Maybe he was trapped in the Matrix then.
It's entirely possible. That's who he was when he was trapped in the Matrix.
You ever seen those things on TikTok where they try to weave TV shows and movies into like the same timeline?
Yes. I enjoy watching those.
I do too. Yeah. Those are cool. What if you could do that with Lawrence Fishburne from Pee-wee's Playhouse into the Matrix? You could.
You know, you absolutely could. Because, I mean, Lawrence Fishburne in Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Right.
Right? That was his life before somebody gave him the red pill, blue pill decision.
Right.
Yeah.
Because Pee-wee's Playhouse, what year did The Matrix come out?
99.
What year was Pee-wee's Playhouse? Like before that, right?
Yeah. Early 90s, late 80s.
Right. So he could have just been wandering around lost for a couple of years. But you got to take into account his other movies too, because that's how they do it, right? Well, what else was he in? He was in Event Horizon.
That was after The Matrix.
Was it?
I'm pretty sure Event Horizon's 2000. Came out around the same time.
Maybe after he got out of that Cowboy Pee-wee's Playhouse, he just fucking, that's how he got into computers.
Mm-hmm.
Spent a few years on the dark web.
Well, you know, it could be like that was his, you know, he'd get off set.
Yeah.
He'd be like, Pee-wee's such a dick. I'm going to go fucking hacking.
Yeah.
And then somebody found him, and then, you know, Pee-wee's Playhouse just got canceled out of nowhere. Maybe it was because Pee-wee got arrested for masturbating in public or something. I don't know. Anyway, Pee-wee's Playhouse
got a porn theater. It's just like the worst thing to get arrested for.
I know, that's the most ridiculous thing.
Not like a worst thing in like that. It's like, it, like humility wise, you know, it's humiliating.
It is humiliating. At the same time, like, you were doing what you were supposed to be doing in the place where you were supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
There used to be like,
it's not like you were a mayor of a town smoking crack or something and having whores over,
but it used to be like, there was a city in Texas where somebody who was big in the police or the DA's office or whatever just had a fucking bug up their butt about morality and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then on like a Friday night or something, they're like, all right, we're going to bust into a bar and arrest everybody for being drunk in public. And they would.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's like that project. It's like what's that thing that's coming up right now? I don't like getting in politics on the show, but that project 2025.
I've heard rumors about it. I've tried not to look into it because it sounds like a horror show.
It looks like a horror show.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I'd rather not to. Yeah. It's all, I mean, politics is just such a bummer.
Yeah.
It's such a fucking bummer.
It really is. You got two old guys.
You got two old guys, both of whom are talking about almost nothing that actually affects any of our lives.
They could do this show.
They could do this show. And
it would actually get probably better ratings than we can.
Oh, it would get much better ratings. And honestly, it might be a little more entertaining, too. Certainly more aggravating.
Yeah.
Did you watch that debate?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you see, I did.
Did
and,
you?
And I, yeah. And I was like, so this whole thing's a bummer. But and I'm like two thirds of the way through. I keep thinking, man, this whole thing's a bummer, but hey, whatever. I'm watching it.
Right.
And then these two old men got into an argument about fucking golf handicaps.
I remember that. I saw a little bit of it. Like I said, dude, that debate just reminded me. I'm like, dude, they're not talking about anything.
Yeah. And that was the time at which they were both the most excited and lively during the whole fucking debate. When they were yelling at each other about their golf handicaps.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is my choice. These are my options. Jesus fucking Christ.
It's a scary, scary time, man. Yeah. I hope everybody stays safe out there.
Yeah, please.
Please stay safe. Dude, they just had a hurricane hit Houston.
They did. Category one, so no big deal.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, Houston floods every few years one way or another. They're used to it. A bunch of people are going to get new TVs. Thanks to the federal government.
Oh. At least there is no... At least it was in a category four.
Yeah.
Or five.
Yeah. A bunch of people from Texas who fucking like... Jesus fuck.
We're not going to talk about that.
I'm not going to.
You're not going to go off on Texas?
You know, I was going to go off on flood insurance, man. Because that's like the worst, one of the fucking dumbest government programs. But I'm not. Right. I'm not. Because nobody wants to hear me ranting about flood insurance.
for like the last 5 minutes of this podcast. There's probably nobody listening right now anyway. What,
I could go on for 5 minutes about flood insurance. I'm not gonna.
I think that's going to wrap it up.
Yeah. No. Yeah. We better wrap it up.
Yeah. Because you're getting a little irritated in your seat over there.
Yeah. I'm getting real fidgety thinking about flood insurance.
Yeah. So I'm on that point, if you listened all the way through, please, you know, leave us a rating somewhere where you listen to podcasts. It really helps us out.
Yeah, please.
If you have a question about anything, you could email us at shaneandi@gmail.com. Go to our website, shaneandishow.com. Go to our website.
Yeah. And if any of you can explain to me what a golf handicap is, I'd love to hear it.
Yes.
Because I just heard, you know, the two candidates for president arguing about it.
I would too, actually.
And I hear people talk about what they're talking about.
Because I'm confused on a golf handicap if it's supposed to be low or high.
I don't know.
I'm not a golfer.
Yeah.
So if you're out there and you're a golfer and you could tell us what a golf handicap is, please do so.
Yeah.
That would be wonderful. Then we could come on here on our next episode and talk about golf handicaps.
Yeah.
For 35 minutes.
Then I could know what's important to the presidents.
Yes. Yes. All right. Until next time, people, don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
Please.
Please.